Well, good morning again. I'm going to do the best I can this morning with my voice. Anybody got allergies? These trees are beautiful, but I'm telling you, they're just doing nothing for the voice, right? I went to the doctor Friday morning. I'm totally going off target, sorry. Went to the doctor Friday morning, and I'm like, you know, I got this thing going on in my throat. I need to have a voice for Sunday morning, right? So thank goodness I've got a voice this morning. So it's amazing what salt water will do for you. This morning, we are concluding our Lenten sermon series called Mission Possible. Mission Possible. His mission, should you choose to accept it. And we looked at the scriptures in the call of the disciples to be bold and to take risk and to walk away from what is comfortable to us. Mission Possible. And again, we explored Jesus' ministry of healing and miracles and how Jesus is at work today, not just through the history of the scriptures, but he is at work today for healing and miracles. And then also fears, right? How we conquer fear and worry as he calls us to mission. And today his mission is accomplished, amen? Amen. His mission is accomplished, and ours begins. Ours begins. The resurrection is a holy, holy mystery. Ever had those times in your life where you have to say, I just got to see it to believe it? Anybody have kids in the room? All right. Like, they say they're going to clean their room. I'm going to see it to believe it, right? I don't know if any of you have experienced that. You may be experiencing that right now by the laughter. I can just tell. And then something else, you'll see it to believe it, if the Reds are going to win another World Series, right? Oh, that got even more laughter. All right. Well, then let's just go with it that the Bengals are going to win the Super Bowl. Oh, see, I knew. There we go. We're faithful, but... So we have all these things in life. I think back to 25 years ago, if somebody would have told me that we would all have this small little device that we would carry around, that we would be able to talk on, that we would be able to do this thing called email, and what the heck is Facebook or social media, I'd say, I got to see it to believe it. No way. And it's just amazing how technology has evolved. And then something I think that was just spectacular this past week is to say that we would see it to believe it if Tiger Woods was going to win another Masters. And wasn't that exciting? We got to see it, right? We got to see it, and it was so much fun. I got to watch some of the video as he embraced his kids, and his kids got to see him win the Masters and to hug his mother, and it was just so exciting. And then something else I think of that you've got to see it to believe it, when you take that pregnancy test, right? Like, oh, am I really pregnant? And you've got the lines coming up. I've got a grandbaby coming next month, and I'm telling you, I can't wait to see it to believe it, right? Exciting, exciting stuff. So there's things that we've just got to see for ourselves. And as parents, right, we show our kids, I want to show you this. And we show them things, right, when they're little because we love them. We love them and we want them to be able to see something for themselves. Today we find ourselves at the tomb and Jesus was crucified. And he was dead and he was buried and he was sealed in a tomb. And all hope was lost, or so they thought. Two faithful women made their way to the tomb early Easter morning, and much to their surprise, they found the stone was rolled away and that the tomb was empty. You see, we have a God who loves us so much that he said, let me show you. Let me show you. The stone being rolled away is for us. It is for us. You see, God knows we are see it to believe it kind of people. And he says, let me show you. Let me show you. He is not here. This morning, our passage comes from the Gospel of Matthew, and we are in the 28th chapter, verses 1 through 10. I invite you to follow along on the screen, and I want you to hear these words as I read them aloud. I just want them to wash over your soul and to soak into your spirit. After the Sabbath at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him and they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples, and suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, and they clasped his feet and worshiped him, and then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." The Marys were faithful, visiting his tomb. They were obedient, devoted, and they loved Jesus. They loved Jesus. Absolutely loved him. You see, the earth trembled, and an angel appeared from heaven, rolled away the stone, and sat atop of it. And the women tell us that the scriptures, that there were two unbelieving guards that witnessed the whole event, and they shook, and they became like dead men. And the women, they had to be absolutely terrified. Like one of those moments where I'm going to turn around and go back, right? I saw what happened to these two men. And the angel says to them, "Don't be afraid." He reassures them, "Don't be afraid." And the angel has a purpose and a mission for these two women. Come and see and go and tell. Come and see and go and tell. Isn't that our mission as Christians today? Come and see and go and tell. Jesus has risen. He wasn't in the tomb. He wasn't in the tomb. So who's going to tell his story, right? Who's going to tell his story? Some of us that live in this area are familiar with Tylersville Road. It is a busy, busy road. It stretches from a good part of Butler County to Warren County, and there's a lot of traffic, and especially in this area right up here off of Cox Road. And those of you that are visiting, you may have an area in the town that you're from that is a major thoroughfare, and a lot happens. I would imagine thousands of cars travel past Tylersville up here every day. It's how we get to I-75. And a lot of times during the summer or the warmer months, we will see individuals, they'll be out driving a truck, typically on a Saturday morning, and they've got banners and billboards in the back of their trucks. And then there are people that park on the corners of the major intersections, not far from this church up on Tylersville, and they'll have a bullhorn. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. And they'll have that bullhorn, and they're shouting through that bullhorn that we're all sinners and that we need to repent. And if we don't repent, that we're going to hell. And it is just, it infuriates me every time I see these people on the corners, because I think, oh my gosh, I cannot imagine that that is the message, that Jesus would be on the corner with a bullhorn shouting those things. And I also want to say, as people are driving by, not all Christians are out here and believe that we should be with a bullhorn shouting these things. So last week I was leaving worship, and I was headed down Cox up to Tylersville, and you guys may have seen this as well, but there's a man standing on the corner of Tylersville and Cox. And I've seen him there before, but this was the second time I'd seen him. And he has headphones on, so he's listening to music, and he's dancing right on the corner, and he's having a good time, and his shirt says, "I love you." It is just the most heartwarming thing. And of course, what am I? I'm just waving to him, right, as I'm going by. And it is just absolutely so uplifting. You see, who are we going to tell? We're to go and we are to tell. But what is our message? What is our message? That of hate that threatens, or one of love? One of love. Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose in final victory 3 days later. Who are you going to tell? Who are you going to tell? There was a recent study out a couple of weeks ago I read online, and it was about religion in the United States. And for the first time ever in history, the category with the highest percentage regarding that of religion was no religious affiliation. 23% of people marked that they have no religion in their life. Those are staggering numbers. Staggering numbers. We have many Americans that are missionaries that will travel to other countries. Maybe many of you have traveled on missionary journeys to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ with other communities. But I can't help but wonder in the near future if the United States is going to become a mission field. And people from other countries are going to come and be witnessing to people in our culture. As things shift. You see, we find ourselves at the empty tomb today. He is risen. He is risen. Who are we going to tell? We are missionaries. The women set out just as the angel told them, and Scripture tells us that they were afraid, yet filled with joy. And they encounter the risen Christ on the road, on the way, and they fall at his feet. Is that really you, Jesus? Is that really you? And they worshiped him, again, telling them, don't be afraid. And he says, go and tell my brothers. I love this. Two things. One is we keep a recurring thing. Don't be afraid, right? What are we afraid of? That God keeps telling us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And then he says, go and tell my brothers. This was a big deal. This was a misogynist tell his story. Amen? I'm sorry, I just couldn't resist. I could not resist. So the angel and Jesus both said, don't be afraid, and they headed out on their path. As you think about your path, in this season of your life right now, where do you need Jesus to go before you? Where do you need Jesus to go before you? Where do you need to be assured that he'll be there waiting for you? Or maybe where do you need to know that he's been there first? That he's been there first. You see, he experienced betrayal and heartbreak and suffering. Resurrection comes when we least expect it and when we need it most. I want to say that again. Resurrection comes when we least expect it and when we need it the most. So the cross has the final word. Jesus paid the price for our sins. Those who believe in him will have eternal life. But there is more. I want to share a quote with you from Dallas Willard. I just love this. The gospel is less about how to get into the kingdom of heaven after you die and more about how you live in the kingdom of heaven before you die. Amen. Sorry, I'm on a roll. Amen this morning. Oh my gosh, I just love that. As followers of Christ, we have an eye to heaven, knowing that our final destination is with Jesus. But we often miss out on God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus with us here on earth. We think that we can only access him in heaven, but the truth is the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are here with us now. I believe that they are here with us in this room, that they are here with us in this very room. And the Lord's Prayer, which we said at the beginning, we prayed together, we pray that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's not miss what we pray. Heaven on earth. You see, when Jesus ascended into heaven, the Holy Spirit came to dwell among us. We don't do life alone. We don't do life alone. Ever have those God moments? Maybe the phone rings at just the right time. You get an unexpected blessing. Someone prays for you and a sense of the presence of God just comes over you. For me, I'm a penny person. You could have a penny show up at the right time. Maybe a good friend sends you a card in the mail and it came just when you needed it to come. Those God moments. Maybe it's hearing a song or a message. To know that God is speaking right to you. Kingdom come, kingdom come. I love this passage from John 14, and Jesus is telling his disciples that he promises the Holy Spirit, and he's talking to his disciples about what's gonna happen after he's gone. And again, I'm sure they're wrestling with what all of that means. He says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. That's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you also live. And on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. God is in each and every one of us. And today we come to the tomb. Jesus is not here. He has risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So who's going to tell his story? Who's going to tell his story? You see, resurrection is new life, and we're free from the chains that bind. We're at peace, and you see, when we die to ourselves, we allow Jesus to come into our lives and fill us, and we experience the resurrection. We experience the resurrection. It's the gospel, and gospel means good news, not just for eternity, but for here and now, for here and now. Because of Jesus, we have resurrection power. We have resurrection power, and some of us don't even know it. We don't even know it. There's a song by Chris Tomlin called Resurrection Power. I want to share just a couple of verses with you. He says, "You called me from the grave by name. You called me out all my shame. I see the old has passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside. Jesus, you have given us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom that I'm dressed in your royalty. Your Holy Spirit lives in me and I see my past has been redeemed and the new has come." Good news, and that good news is Jesus. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come forward. I'm going to invite you into a time of prayer, and this is a time of prayer that you're going to respond. It's an opportunity for you to participate in worship this morning. You're just not coming to receive, which we're receiving, but you're going to receive in a different way. So I'm going to lead us through some prayer prompts and just, again, follow along with me. I want everybody just take a deep breath. In through the nose, out through the mouth, just a deep breath. Prepare ourselves to receive the Lord in this moment. I want everybody to close your eyes. Everybody can close your eyes. And if you are at home watching on the live stream, we invite you to do this as well. You can repeat after me, "God, I welcome you here. God, I welcome you here." And I want you to repeat this, "God, I invite you into my life in this very moment. God, I invite you into my life in this very moment." As we sit in our chairs, I want everyone to wiggle your toes in your shoes. Just wiggle your toes. Wiggle your toes. And this is a reminder as you wiggle those toes that you are on holy ground. You are on holy ground, that the Lord is here with us this morning. Now I want you to sit up a little bit straighter in your chair, back against the chair. Yep. I want you to sit up straight. Some of you have had a week that has beaten you up or has beaten you down. And we're sitting up straight knowing that Jesus has your back. Jesus has your back. Now I want you to open up your hands, palms up, to receive him this day. Jesus, just as your hands were nailed to the cross in surrender, our hands are open to surrender, to receive you this day. Some of your hands might be feeling warm. You might feel a little bit of weight. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Jesus, I pray that you would fill us with your resurrection power that gives us freedom. No longer bound by sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. Make us messengers of your good news. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your presence here with us. And God, I pray as we enter into this next week, that we remember these motions of wiggling our toes and straightening our back and opening our hands as a reminder that you are always with us. And all we need to do is call upon your name, the name of Jesus. So we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the resurrection. It's a game changer. It's a game changer, and not for all of just eternity, but for here and now. So, Lord, continue to work in each and every one of us. We glorify and we praise your holy name. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our closing song. We're going to embrace some resurrection power this morning.